their faith better, to then be able to share their faith with other people, a little bit different than corporate evangelism. And the goal in personal evangelism is to change not the person's actions, but to change their attitudes. So as a church, I'm encouraging us to look these next few weeks at personal evangelism. If you look on the back of your worship bulletin, I kind of give you the layout of what personal evangelism involves. And we're going to look at that in a few seconds. But I want us to look first at two things that Jesus did. One was corporate evangelism, and the other was personal evangelism. We all know the wonderful story of Jesus feeding 5,000 after he'd gone and preached and said a great message to all these people that had gathered by the lake to hear him preach. And then for a while he went away on the boat, and then when he came back across from the lake, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. There are all these people here, but it is getting late." And the disciples say to Jesus, "Send those crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy their own food." But Jesus replies, "No, do not send them away. You must give them something to eat." Here Jesus is doing corporate evangelism. He is teaching the disciples how they must act. He is saying, "Don't send them away. I'm changing your action. I'm telling you instead to give them something to eat." And the disciples say, "But how can we do this? We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus says, "Bring those items here to me." And he directed all the people to sit on the grass. And taking just those 5 loaves and just those 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks to the Lord for these items. And then he gave it to his disciples, and he asked the disciples to give it to the people. He is doing these actions to show them to change their actions, to not deny each other a food, to not share their food with each other, but instead to thank God for what they have and to share what they have been given by God. And they say at the closing that 5,000 were fed, they all ate and were satisfied, and there was even food left over from those 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is corporate evangelism that Jesus did for the people then, changing their actions and showing how they can share with each other. But Jesus, we know, also did personal evangelism. He didn't just change people's actions, he also changed people's attitudes. Jesus, we know, in the greatest commandment from Matthew 22, 37 to 40 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment. And he also tells them the second great commandment, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two are all the laws of the prophets. We know from Matthew's passage last Sunday, as he shared wonderfully from Deuteronomy 6, that we are reminded, even in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, about needing to love God with all our heart, all our mind, and with all our soul. Deuteronomy closes with, "Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart." That is a change in attitude that Jesus is teaching people, to not take God for granted, but to instead have an attitude of love for God, to have a better attitude. That is personal evangelism. So when you think about corporate evangelism and personal evangelism, what does Chinese UMC do well? I am proud to say we do corporate evangelism well. We have the wonderful Chinatown Children's Choir that ministers to the children of the community and children of other churches. We help evangelize to them and their parents. We have great worship services on special occasions, also Christmas Eve or Easter Sunday. And we have wonderful concerts. We've had Larissa Lam come in the past. The Chinese service has had opera singers come. We do these great evangelism events. And Vacation Bible School is another wonderful corporate evangelism event that we do well. But if we are honest with ourselves, truly honest with ourselves, we don't do personal evangelism well. I know I have not been as good as that, and I'm a pastor. And I know that I have not asked you as congregation members to be accountable for your own personal evangelism. So I want us to look at that over the next few Sundays. Now, personal evangelism also then means believing in something so much that you share that joy with the world. Phil, I can say it now because you're here, and I do talk about you when you're not here every Sunday. But Phil, for the month of October, or even September and October, his personal evangelism involved the Cubs, right? that faith in the Cubs that they would win, that they would break that 108-year curse. He loved talking about the Cubs. He celebrated every win they had. He was so sad over every loss they had. And there was a touch-and-go moment, as we know, when they were playing against both the Dodgers in the NLCS Finals and then also in the World Series when they were down 3-1. Phil's evangelism was about the Cubs. You could ask him anything about the Cubs, and we maybe can do that after service, and he would be able to tell you everything about the Cubs, not just the present team, but the past teams and all the records and all the things about the Cubs, and even where he was at the very moment when the Cubs won the World Series. If you ask other Cubs fans, they will be able to tell you where they were at the very moment when the Cubs won the World Series, because they believed in something so much and then are willing to share it and celebrate it with other people. That was his personal evangelism. Thank you, honey. So I want us to have personal evangelism like that as well, but with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to be able to tell people about those wonderful things, to experience personal evangelism, and then tell another person one-on-one about that great experience. So if you look at the back of your worship bulletin, you see the 5 points about what personal evangelism involves. It involves us doing 5 things. The first is the active telling of the activity of God in your life. Now you'll see the word active in a way twice. The active telling means you're constantly doing it in real time, not just something you've done once in your life, but constantly, about the activity of God in your life. We are great at saying we love God. We are great at saying God is great, God is awesome. But we are not as great at saying what God does in our life. How God saved you when you were at your lowest point. How God brought special people into your life. How God gives you love and grace and mercy. We aren't as good about telling about the activity of God in our life. And I want us to get used to doing that. Personal evangelism also involves listening to the spiritual needs of our friends. And listening is the key word here. We need to really listen to the spiritual needs of other people. What you have as a spiritual need is not the same as what the person next to you has as a spiritual need. I now invite you on the back of your worship bulletin to write 1 or 2 spiritual needs you feel you need. Whether it's to read the Bible better, to know Christ better, to be more at peace in times of anxiety, to be a better parent and teach them about your children about God. What is your spiritual need? Just write 1 or 2 in the next few seconds. So hopefully you had a chance to think about and even write 1 or 2 spiritual needs down. And now I invite you to turn to someone near you and share with them what you wrote, if you're comfortable, the 1 or 2 spiritual needs that you wrote. Okay, I'm sorry, it was short. But did anyone have the same spiritual need as the person they were sharing with? Okay, no hands, right? Okay. That is why we need to truly listen to the spiritual need of another person, because our spiritual need is not the same as theirs. We can't assume what we think we need in our life to make us better disciples and closer to God is the same as what another person needs. I'd be surprised if there was any set that had the exact same answer. Husband and wives don't have the same answers. Sisters don't have the same answers. Friends who have been longtime friends for over 20 years, as many of you have been, you don't have the same answer. So when we talk about personal evangelism, we must know it is important to listen to the spiritual needs of our friends. Then we must also regularly pray for our friends. We are really good about praying for ourselves. Lord, please help me get home safely from the snow. Or, Lord, please help me feel better so I can do good at my job today. Or, Lord, please help my loved one who is struggling with cancer or something. Those are things we sometimes ask for prayers for ourselves, but we must remember to also pray for friends when we pray. To pray for a friend who does not yet have Christ in their hearts, to pray for a friend who is struggling with their faith, and even to pray for a friend who has never, ever been to church. To pray for the friends is part of personal evangelism. Then we must also, after we know we've listened to them, that we've actively told about how God is active in our lives, and after we prayed for our friends, we must then know to share the gospel, the word of God lived out in the life of Jesus Christ, to share that wonderful story and the good news that Christ died on the cross for our sins. It's sort of like degrees of level. We must first be active in telling about God, and then we must listen to the spiritual needs of friends, and then we must regularly pray for their friends, and then we can be ready to tell them about the gospel. And after you share about the wonderful gospel, the word of God, in your own words, I do say that. I think if you showed to someone and started quoting scripture, and many of us are able to do that, you would kind of lose them. You'd probably get a blank face on their face. It'd be explaining something to them, but using a manual to them. And we know the words, but we are then called to translate that manual to other people, to share the gospel in a way that our friends can understand. And then we are finally able to lead them to the wonderful place to know that they must surrender their life to God, just as we have surrendered our lives to God, to help the person to understand the great joy that comes in surrendering their life and fully trusting in God. Each level we know is harder and harder to achieve. I can say to anyone, yes, please go out and share about God in your life. Say how he is actively helping you in your life. And you can probably do that. And you could also listen really well to your friend's spiritual needs and pray for the person as well. But it might be harder to do the last two, to share the gospel and to also lead people to the life of faith. But as you know, as you pass each level, yes, they are harder to do, but the reward is greater at each level. There is a great reward achieved as we continue to do personal evangelism in all levels. And in this morning's passage, we see the Apostle Simon Peter and how he has this personal evangelism experience and what he is doing. We all know Peter from the Gospels when Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 18, that I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Jesus says to Peter that I will give you the keys of the kingdom in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter is the rock that Jesus is saying the church will be set on. He is this great person that many things will come out of. And Peter knows that and hears all that. But yet we know that the time of Jesus' arrest and trial and before his crucifixion, Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but Peter denies Jesus three times. We know that a girl first asks him, a servant girl sees Peter while Jesus is being arrested and put on trial, and she says, this man Peter was also with him. But Peter denies it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And then later someone else sees Peter and says, you are one of them. And Peter again says, man, I am not one of them. And then we know an hour later, another person keeps insisting that surely this man Peter was with them, for he is a Galilean. He was with Christ, with Jesus. And Peter says finally a third time, denying knowing Jesus, that I do not know who you are talking about. Peter has denied knowing Jesus the Lord three times. How can this be that Peter, the person who is supposed to be the rock and the foundation of the church, that Jesus says, you have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, yet he denies knowing Jesus three times? Jesus, we know, was killed on the cross, and we hear Peter's reaction about weeping bitterly for that. And we come to Acts in this morning's passage when Peter has been one of the apostles sent out then to continue the church, to continue Christ's teachings. And in this morning's passage from Acts chapter 10, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter when you are able to, but it starts with a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius is a centurion in the Italian cohort. It means he's a well-respected citizen. He probably has some power. Cornelius, they say, he's a very devout man. He worships God and even fears God, and he prays and gives alms to God daily. And an angel of the Lord appears to Cornelius, and he says to Cornelius, "Send your men to Joppa, for there is a man named Simon Peter there who you must hear his message." And Cornelius does just that. And so we come to this morning's passage where Peter, he has been hungry earlier in the day, and he goes up to the roof of his friend's house. And while he was there, he's thinking about what he wants to eat, and he has a vision. The scripture passage says he falls into a trance, maybe from the bright sun of the day or maybe from being hungry, but he has fallen into a trance, and he sees an angel, and before him is laid, they say, 4-footed creatures and all the birds of the air. There is a blanket coming down and laying on the ground before him, and a voice says to him, "Peter, get up, you are able to kill and eat these items." And Peter says, "But Lord, I never eat anything that is profane or unclean, not prepared right." And the voice says to him a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happens in this passage 3 times. A voice telling Peter 3 times, "You are able to eat what is laid down before you. It is something that is given to you by God. Take of that." 3 times. Notice that connection where Jesus denied knowing, where Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. And then here, he is told 3 times, "It is okay. The Lord has provided for you. You must be able to take and eat of it," to give him sustenance when he was hungry. He is told this 3 times. There is this beautiful parallel then. For Peter, at the end of denying Jesus 3 times, weeps bitterly. And here in this morning's passage, as Peter is an apostle telling about Christ and starting the new churches, he is told 3 times, "It is okay. Take what the Lord has given before you and supplied you with." And Peter does this, and he is fed and he is satisfied. So in this morning's passage, when Cornelius' men come before him, he is ready to be an evangelist, to experience personal evangelism. He is telling them about the activity of God in his life. This morning's passage from Acts chapter 10, verse 34, starts by saying, "Peter began to speak to them, 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality.'" He is telling about the activity of God in his life, how he, when he says "I," understand that God shows no partiality. He has experienced that himself. Even denying knowing Jesus, he does not receive that punishment, but instead he received God's love by the vision of food and the food he was able to eat set before him. He is doing personal evangelism and telling of the activity of God in his life. Then he goes on to say in verse 36 from this morning's passage that you, he says to the people, "You know the message that he sent to the people of Israel, preaching in the peace of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." He is then addressing the spiritual needs to the people he is talking to. He is listening to the spiritual needs of the friends he's been called to come address, to Cornelius and his servants who have brought him before them. He is saying "you" because he knows they have spiritual needs. We also must know that we must continue to pray for the people. Peter says in his message to them that we are witnesses to all that has been done, and he reminds them that together they are witnesses, and prayer can be a part of that witnessing. And then finally, you must continue to do as Peter did, to share the gospel. Acts 10 continues with Peter reminding them the words of Jesus from verse 42. "Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead." This is part of the gospel, and Peter is sharing that, doing wonderful personal evangelism as he is sharing that Jesus commanded people to preach and to testify and to know that he is the one ordained by God. He is sharing the good news, personal evangelism. Then Peter also reminds them finally of the last part of personal evangelism, to lead people to a desire to surrender one's life to him. This morning's passage closes from Acts 10, verse 43. It says, "All the prophets testify about him, and that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." surrender your life to him, Peter is telling to Cornelius and his servants. If you testify about him and believe in him truly, you will see forgiveness of sins through his name. Personal evangelism is just that, actively telling people about God in your life and how God is active in your life, listening to the spiritual needs of a friend, regularly praying for your friend, sharing the gospel with that friend, and leading that friend to the desire to surrender their life to God. That is the wonderful thing that we as Christians are called to do, to share our own personal evangelism with close friends and family, to bring them to Christ just as we were brought to Christ in our own faith journey. So when you talk about making New Year's resolutions, and it sounds like a lot of us haven't this year, which is fine, but I want us to think about promising to be better at our own personal evangelism, to be resolved about doing that, to stay committed. And when the next few Sundays, I'm going to look about how we can stay committed to doing personal evangelism. I call it the duh of personal evangelism, and you'll see it on the back of your worship bulletin. I love acronyms. We're United Methodist, UMC, United Methodist Church, UMW, United Methodist Women. We know acronyms, CCC, Chinatown Children's Choir. We love acronyms. So my acronym for the next few Sundays is the duh of personal evangelism. D stands for discipline. We need to be disciplined in our own personal evangelism and even in our corporate evangelism. For example, corporate evangelism discipline. Show up here on time for worship. You'll get this from me every few months, right? At 10 minutes before the hour, it is beautiful. The chimes of our church ring, and they ring a different song each Sunday. I encourage you to show up not just on time at 10 a.m., but maybe even 9:50 a.m. to hear the beautiful church chimes ring. It's a good way to center yourself and begin to be in the spirit of worship together. So show up on time. Corporate evangelism together. Discipline. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday. But we also want to look at also discipline means having unbreakable faith. Christ's body was broken on the cross for us so that our faith cannot be broken today. There is a connection we need to realize with that when we talk about being faithful people and having personal evangelism. And then finally, personal evangelism means also having a heart for the Lord. So we're going to talk about that as well in the next few Sundays. But I want us to be excited now about thinking about personal evangelism, to think about someone you know needs Christ or God in their lives, to someone you can reach out to better connect with in that way, and how you can be better in your own personal evangelism. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that we are your sons and daughters and are so thankful for that. We know that you